Hi, I'm Lauren Edmonds. I'm the founder and owner of a school that supports children with learning delays. I'm hoping this space gives you something to think about. I want to talk a little bit about the auditory system. It's important for me to say up front that I'm not an audiologist nor a speech therapist, that I'm stating this but to live in those different environments and be able to manage the noise that's around them. So let's just take it a step back. When something in your sensory space is too overwhelming, so overwhelming that it shuts you down or triggers you in a way that you have a huge response to it and you need to get away or fight your way out of it, we want to make sure that we can take that massive response away from you temporarily in order to work with you in that environment. But if you're not having such a catastrophic breakdown response, if it's just uncomfortable or somewhat intolerable or overwhelming, what we really want to do is we want to understand where it's coming from and then work with the child to get them to have skills and to overcome their sensitivity. Now, this does not mean if you're afraid of snakes, you throw people in a bath of snakes. We're not trying to do that. We're not trying to trigger the nervous system. So it's a balance between allowing exposure, bringing awareness to how am I feeling as the child? How is the child feeling in this uncomfortable state? Where are they feeling? Can they bring awareness to the things around them? Can we ground ourselves? What is actually going on? Can you pinpoint what is triggering you? And you are the safe person with them. I've got you. I'm right here. And when they get overwhelmed, you take them out of that situation. Because overwhelmed children don't learn. Then their system is triggered and there's no benefit to them being in that state of mind. But when they can somewhat tolerate it, that's when they start to figure out what's going on for them with your help. What's going on for them? What is so overwhelming? Where is the sound coming from? Where is the irritation coming from? Where do they feel it in their body? Are they breathing? Are they not breathing? Are they grounded? Are they wanting to run away? Are they wanting to hide away? Can they become more aware and present in how they are responding to the sound? Now, this doesn't happen in one go, and that can be very overwhelming in one go. So you want to slowly just bring that now. Breathe through the feeling. You're safe. You're right here with me. Can you feel the ground? Can you feel the chair you're sitting on? Can you feel my hand? I'm holding your hand. Look around. Can you see the tree? Can you see the birds? So we do this grounding technique. There's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 5 things you can see. Now name them. That's very grounding. 4 things you can touch. Very grounding. 3 things you can hear. Also very grounding. 2 things you can smell. Now it's getting closer to the body. Now I'm paying attention to me. And I want to breathe and slow my heart rate down. And then 1 thing I can taste. Now you're really close to myself. The child's really focusing on themselves and not the external environment that is triggering for them. And we breathe through it. Okay, can you hear the noise now? Now another technique you can use with children is to say, let's identify the noise. Who is it? Oh, it's a flapping curtain. Oh, let's look at the curtain. Oh, I see it's moving. Let's focus on the sound. What is it sounding like? Oh, it could sound like wings. It's flicking against the wall. I can hear the flicking. Okay, now let's move our attention away from that. What's the next sound you can hear? I can hear my brother laughing. Okay, let's picture him. Where is he? Is the laughing loud or is it soft? Is he irritated or is he laughing at something that you think is very funny? Is somebody tickling him? Can you imagine? What you're doing is you're taking the child away from trying to contain themselves and barricade themselves from what they think is overwhelming for them, and you allowing them to breathe into knowing it as opposed to hiding away or running from it. Now, this has to be done while you're looking at whether the child is overwhelmed or not. The moment they're overwhelmed, you take them out of the situation because you're no longer helping them. Now they are in shutdown. They are dysregulated. They are so overwhelmed that you cannot get to their thinking brain. They flip their lid. But if you can keep their thinking brain on, their thinking brain can be more powerful than their automatic response brain. So when children in our environment are auditorily sensitive or visually sensitive, we want to diminish the sound in the school. Of course we do. We want to diminish the visual stimulation in the school. Of course we do. But not so much that we reduce the opportunity, we take the opportunity away to help the child to heal themselves within a visually or auditorily noisy environment. And you cannot heal if you're not in the environment. So that's why I believe therapy is fantastic, but it's almost always pull out therapy into a room where there's no stimulation going on, certainly not in terms of, well, there is stimulation, but no stimulation in terms of external environment. It's quieter, it's contained, it's managed by the therapist. I want to know if that child can generalize those skills they're learning in therapy back into the classroom when it is noisy and you can't control everybody, but you can only control yourself. Now we start to develop coping skills. We start to develop self-soothing skills and autonomy and agency in children. And we can really work sort of down the path of reducing auditory sensitivity, visual sensitivity, auditory discrimination issues, visual discrimination issues, sensitivities. I'm trying to think of all the different areas while I'm talking. But the goal is not to take away this stimulus that is causing distress, but to help the child to deal with the stimulus that is causing distress so that it is no longer a stimulus that causes distress. So the child takes ownership and agency over. And that, I think, is a profound approach to dealing with children who are struggling with sensory processing difficulties and learning difficulties, actually, that we make the child more robust rather than diminish the work. And the same could be said, and Carol Dweck talks about it in her work on growth mindset. You can't diminish the workload or the complexity or the hardness of it, the difficulty level, and then call it success. You've got to keep the difficulty there that's appropriate difficulty, and then build the skills into it. And that's how we get children to overcome their learning difficulties and their sensory difficulties, whatever they might be. I think this is a very interesting approach. So rather than making life easier, we make the child stronger.